deals, sales, special offers. The Chirp podcast with Aaron Millard is in the spirit of the season because, of course, we've got Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and today we've got a BOGO, except instead of buy one, get one free, it's everything's free. We've got two great conversations coming your way. San Jose Sharks captain, can you tell I'm excited? Logan Couture is going to pop on the program. Fresh off a road trip, he was great. He sat down with us from his backyard. He talks Jumbo Joe and what it was like playing with Jumbo when he was a rookie, and then at the end, and now Jumbo's still playing. We'll also discuss Connor McDavid's latest magic. That's all coming up. Plus, it's Colby Armstrong, former player, now broadcaster, and my buddy. Penn's talk because he works in Pittsburgh and we're obligated to do that. He played in Red Deer for Brent Sutter. So we'll chat about what Daryl's doing in Calgary and then a whole bunch of mayhem, which includes a special guest appearance by his daughter, Lucy, who I may have mistaken for one of the family pets because she was crawling around in the background. It's the Chirp podcast with Darren Millard.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
Heads up!
Oh, how'd that feel, old man?
What are you gonna do?
It is the Chirp podcast. We get right into it. Logan Couture is coming up in just a little bit, the captain of the San Jose Sharks. So I want to remind everybody to stick around with that. If Colby Armstrong does indeed drive you away, just remember, the captain of the San Jose Sharks is coming up. I just want to mention that because like it can be hit and miss. You can be have a great game, Colby, or you can have an off game. And I want people to make sure that they stick around.
Well, I've been working on my consistency. So, you know, it's like anything, like even when I was a player, like you got to play 3.5 years in the minors, you know, and that was, I guess, my time working at Sportsnet with you. That
just groomed you. That was yeah. Very well done. That was outstanding. Colby Armstrong, former National Hockey League, and of course, now broadcaster on multiple different levels, joins us on the Chirp podcast. You played for Brent Sutter in junior. Yep. Did you ever meet all the Sutters?
I met them all because I went to they have like a Sutter fund, like a giant golf tournament. And so when I was playing there the one summer, I was invited. I think I was invited a few other times, but just living in Saskatoon, it's tough, but I stayed in Red Deer one summer, which was wild, but I was invited to their golf tournament and I got to meet all of the Sutters at that thing, which was actually really cool to have all of them there in the same spot, which, you know, it's kind of funny too at the same time. Has anyone ever like done like a full blown documentary on that family too, by the way?
I'm going to guess that you and I aren't the first two to think of that.
Yeah. You know what?
I was just going to throw that out there. In
light of the Hall of Fame inductions and everything that's happened here, I was talking to Paul Steigerwald, who I work with here in Pittsburgh, a longtime broadcaster. Now I work with him on the pre and post game shows on radio here in Pittsburgh for the Penguins. We were talking about the Hall of Fame and talking about the Sutters. And I don't know how it came up to it, but we were talking about Mrs. Sutter. The mother should be in the Hall of Fame as a builder. Yes. As a builder.
She should be. Mama. Totally. You're absolutely
right. Well, when you have
that right.
many kids in the NHL, I mean, how do you not, how is that not even considered?
Now, when you talked to the Sutters at that golf tournament, did you know which one you were talking to?
No. Daryl, Dwayne, Brian, Rich, Ron, Brent.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Is that all of them?
I think that's all of them. I'm not sure the brother that didn't play. I can't remember.
I met him, Gary. Gary.
Oh, actually, Gary, yes. Right.
I met all of them.
And didn't Gary win the lottery?
I golfed with Gary in a group as well. How did I forget that? Yeah. So yeah, I did meet him. There's too many, man. There's too many. It's crazy.
I bring that up because Daryl's got it going in Calgary right now. They don't allow any goals.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, you got two good goaltenders that are going pretty good. And I mean, who saw, you know, Vladar being what he is, and you're the goalie guy. You would know more than I do what that position is and how hard it is to find like a good tandem like that, right? And you like Markstrom's the horse. He's, in my opinion, if he didn't get hurt, when was that now? My years are getting confused. A few years ago in Vancouver at the end of the year, got the team in the playoffs. This is 2 years ago now. I think for me, I would have considered him like a heart candidate just because how good he was, or at least should have been up there way more in the votes for that. And how good he is and how big of a horse he was for Vancouver, and then ends up getting hurt and they end up getting into the playoffs still. And But he's that good, and he can, you know, be that good for this team. But now you have two guys that can get the job done, and Vladar in short experience.
Is it the goalies or is it Daryl?
I think it's a little bit of both for sure, right? Like, I think, remember last year how hard Daryl was on like the hard, on the good players, like Johnny's not that good, you know, he needs to play better.
Yeah.
He was pretty hard on his criticism with getting them to kind of buy in. Right. And obviously he has a different, you know, set of standards and a different idea of like what a team game should look like. And man, he's, on top of individual performances, he's got that team rolling unbelievably well right now. And I think a lot of it has to do with that. I think a lot of it has to do with the standard. And I think a lot of it has to do with the accountability and kind of the presence that, you know, he brings to that bench and to that team. You know, I always picture like a team as like a ship on the ocean, and like all the guys are like,
what are you doing right there?
I'm like rowing kind of, or like, I'm like doing the pirate thing, you know, with the turning the ship. But I think like as Sutter is like the guy on the ship that's like, like, get over there, do that, put up the thing. And he's got like the voice that commands all these guys. And you have to have that. I think you have to have a captain of the ship, and he's definitely that.
You want some pirate information that you never, ever knew?
What's that?
Okay. You know how they wear an eye patch?
Yeah.
Pirates? It isn't because they lost an eye.
What?
It's because when they go below deck, it's dark and there's no lights on the pirate ship back.
Well, they preserve it. They preserve.
So they slide that. So your eye is used to seeing in the dark, and they slide the patch over. They can see better below deck. And then when they come back up, they slide it back over.
I did not know that. That's unbelievable.
There. I did not think I would share that with you today.
Yeah, here we are.
Do you have a dog? Do you have a dog going in the background?
No, it's my daughter. She's annoying.
I just saw hair.
Yeah, it's Lucy. It's my youngest, my only one left at home from school.
Lucy, I thought you were a puppy going crawling around back.
I thought you were a dog. Isn't that cute?
Don't tell her that later on. If you're listening to the podcast, just know that there was a lot of stuff going on in the background.
I got a good Sutter story on top of everything with you. When I was playing in Red Deer, I was at the airport. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Okay, can you go away for 10 minutes, please?
We interrupt this live recording of the Chirp Podcast as Colby Armstrong parents. We now return you to a live recording of the Chirp Podcast as Colby Armstrong has successfully parented.
I don't know how you, I guess your kids are at school, so you're lucky, but I got one left. But when I was drafted to the Penguins in Red Deer, I was going to the airport. I've never really flown before or, you know, flown with extra bags. Of course I had my hockey bag, my sticks and lug. And, you know, it costs something to get these on the plane. So I was like at the airport about to board my flight, checking in. I had all this stuff. They're like, that's going to be $100 for your stuff, you know? And I'm like, I got like a bank debit card that I had like $5 in from junior. I had nothing. I didn't even know about this. So I'm like, what the heck? So I turn around. Of course it's like around about that time of the year that everyone's going. I turn around, there's Rich Sutter, who I ended up working with at SportsCenter. And I was like, I couldn't get my bags on. I couldn't get my stick on. I was screwed. I was done. And he lended me the $100 it was on his credit card. And I had to pay him back. My mom had to send him money later. I think she did. If not, I owe him $100. But he paid for my bags and everything so I could get to NHL camp, which was really, really, like, how small a world is that, right? Like, it's so cool that that happened. So he helped me get to my first NHL camp.
So Brent teaches you all about the game and you get drafted by Brent, but it's Rich that really got you to the NHL.
Rich really, truly helped me get to the NHL. Yeah, that was crazy. And then the next day, oddly enough, was 9/11. That was the next day at my first ever NHL training camp. Yeah, so crazy first day of training camp for me. And then that story with Rich saving the day, getting me to Pittsburgh, which was wild in itself.
How do you rank coaches and what they can do to influence a team? And I ask you that because the Colorado Avalanche just kind of doubled down with Jared Bednar, who I think is great, another Sasky guy. But but there was some thought that there was maybe some players that were on the fence, some players that had some friction with Jared Bednar, and others that were in his camp. Well, Joe went with Jared, and now they're all in.
Yeah, and I'm happy for that. And how do I rank them? I mean, I don't know, everyone's so different and philosophies and games are so different. You watch different teams and they play differently and how they corral their guys and get their guys to play a certain way, or if their lineup is, you know, bolstered with stars or not. I think it's, you know, it's crazy. Look at Chicago, even for that matter, how much better they've been even since the coaching change and everything that's happened. And Fleury's been even lights out. So it's hard to say like how you rank them, but I like that they got Bednar in there. I like him personally. If you had to ask me like what's one guy you'd love to play for, I think I'd probably pick him. Just a really likable guy, easy guy to cheer for. I met him a couple times and you know, just a solid, good salt of the earth, Sasky guy. But I like that they stuck with him though, Darren, because like, remember when he was there in the early days and it was like ugly and awful and he was thrust into a team and a situation with Patrick Waugh leaving. And it was like, it's like, who's Bednar? What the hell are they doing?
It was like, supposed to last a year.
Yeah. Like, this is a joke. He was just a stand in, like, who is this guy? Yeah. So, you know, the fact that they've built from within, one with all their guys, made a few moves to, you know, secure some others. And, you know, he's kind of been there through that. It'd be a shame, you know, if he can't be a, you know, part of, you know, success. Obviously they've had some harder times here in the playoffs, getting bunted out when everyone thought they were going to be Stanley Cup favorites. And, you know, they're still, you know, on the top right now, or I don't know. I don't know why people look at them right now. I think people are still waiting to see what they look like when they're healthy before ruling them out. They're still in striking distance of all those teams in the top of their division and conference, but it's a situation where I'm glad they did that. And it's not like in a crazy contract, like a 5-year extension. So it's a situation where, you know what, buddy, you've got a few more years with this group. We have this, you know, window that we like, and let's stick with our guy that was through it all. And hopefully they can, you know, get what they're looking for. And that's a Stanley Cup.
You've been really good. People are going to stick through for Logan Couture just because they're entertained with you right now. Like, you've been good.
Thanks,
you've been amazing here. Hey, PK Subban, we know PK, he did some work with us back in the day. Is he just on a bad run right now? Is it circumstance, or is there something to question with what's going on with PK and the injuries that are coming with his interactions?
What, his slew footing?
Okay, I didn't want to say it, but you can say it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen, like, I don't know what it is. I've heard different takes on it and why it's happening, and you know, relating to not being as fleet of foot as he once was and possibly getting beat. And, you know, I look at it as probably just, you know, battle situation and a bad habit, I think. And, you know, I played with PK in Montreal. I love PK. He's awesome. I love his personality. I love the way he played. I love how infectious his attitude was around the room and with the guys. So that's out of the way, but I don't think he's a dirty player. I honestly don't think he would ever go out there and try to hurt anyone. So I know that just because I know him.
People are being hard on him right now.
Well, yeah. And I think you need to be hard on it a little bit for sure, because it's a dangerous play. And, you know, it's one of those kind of things, Darren, you know, in hockey, there's like a few things like kind of some super cheap things that never like go away. A slew foot is one, I feel. And it's, I also feel, maybe just because I was a forward, when a shot's coming from the point and a defenseman knocks you down on purpose, right as the shot's coming through, like, you know, like a cross check down or swipes you out in front of the net and you're unable to kind of protect yourself in those situations. So those are like kind of,
can I add one more?
Yeah, go ahead.
Cowbell.
When somebody, oh yeah, that like, too.
Yeah, that's
I wrong. I think cowbell is like not even on, like, slew foot to hockey players and in hockey is like up at the top.
Yes.
And I feel like that sneaky little cross check that never gets like viewed or called because it's kind of unnoticeable, and yeah, it maybe sometimes doesn't get penalized, but guys know that that's a cheap move too when you put a guy in a bad spot like that. So those are some things that just, you know, are hot button, you know, kind of along inside. I know it's a rule and you get penalized and fined and whatever.
So do you think he's slew footing? Do you think he's actually doing that, or?
Well, I think it's just a bad habit. I think obviously, okay, you look at the video, I think he's doing it, but I think he's inside of a battle. He's trying to get leverage on guys in situations. Some of them have looked worse than others, but I think it's just, you know, the way he's going to get leverage with his legs and ultimately slew footing guys with it. So it's just something he has to be aware of, I think, with the way he defends guys. And, you know, now more than ever, you can't really touch guys if you're not as fleet as foot anymore. Or, you know, there's certain things in there. PK's strong lower body and can move. And pivot and swivel, and he uses that to his advantage. And I think it's gotten him a little bit in trouble with some of the plays. I love PK though. I like the way he plays. I always used to love going out and practice with him before practice. He has like honestly the most tippable shot from the point.
Really?
Like his slap shot or his snapshot is just like, it looks like a beach ball coming in. It has like a way about it. Like you could just see it perfectly. It sizzles nice. It's coming in like great height. I just love to go out there and tip pucks for him. He loved getting those little, you know, pull it off the boards, two steps, bam, pull it off the boards. And I just stand there and tip pucks with him, start a practice all the time. I loved it.
And it's not a muffin. So
no, he rips it pretty good. It's just perfect spots. Like you can just see it so well. I don't know. Just the way he rips it is it's got a great shot. I mean, he's had that since he came in the league, and a way of getting pucks through as well. So hopefully this can just be a little speed bump with him with the slew foots. Cause I think he has some more to give there in New Jersey.
This is the most hockey lingo we've ever used on this podcast between cowbells and slew foots and,
yeah.
And muffins and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to throw
sifters.
One. I'm just going to throw it in there. Give us what a sifter is.
Well, Bundy where was he in Windsor? He was with Windsor Spitfires, and his teams were always real good. And of course on the circuit. And he said, you know, Sergachev, when he had Sergachev in Windsor, he said, you know, he's got five different kinds of shots. And this is at breakfast in Red Deer at the Memorial Cup. And we're like, what is that? You know? And he's like, he's got the backhand, he's got the wrister, he's got the slapper, he's got the snapshot, one timer, and then he's got the sifter. And we're like the same as you, like, what the hell is that? It's like just where you can just sift it through to the net. He's got that good sifter. You know, PK has that too. Yeah, the sifter, that's a real thing. Now that he told me about it, you watch for that.
I was talking to, I think it was Shea Theodore and Steve Spott, and I threw out sifter, and their eyes lit up because they had just heard about the sifter. Or Spotter knew about it, and Shea had just heard about it, and it was like eyes lit up. You know about the sifter? Sifter?
Oh, yeah. It's a Warren Reichel term that I first heard. Yeah, the sifter. It's a good one. They use it a lot. Get pucks through, a little sifter through.
That was on my list of things. I don't do a lot of prep for these interviews because I like the conversations just to go wherever, as exhibited by off the top. But the sifter was on my list of terms to get out there. And it just came about organically. Yes. Dreisaitl, McDavid.
Oh.
Are they the same? Like, could Dreisaitl be as good as McDavid?
Yeah, I know, right? They're the same.
I don't think
different.
So.
Are they the same but different? Is that what you're saying, just in production terms?
Well, some people are saying Dreisaitl might be as good. And come on.
Maybe, I don't know. Geez, that's tough to say McDavid's that good. But I personally love Leon's game. Like, I love how he controls the pace of the game. Like, to a certain degree, right? Like, he's a big man. He's really fast. Actually, I think faster than a lot of people give him credit for because he's playing with a damn roadrunner. But I think he can slow it down and control it. It's like that yin and yang, right? Like, the pace is slowed down by him and he uses his body. And then McDavid, he can just come through like craziness. So I love the way he uses his body down low in offensive zones where he's never panicked. It's like, I always pictured like Matt Sundin being that same kind of guy where Sundin would turn his back to you and he's got the big body, the long reach, and can make plays off of that where most guys are, you know, get swallowed up by a D-man and they're in a battle and he can fend off guys. Joe Thornton, you know, another guy through history has done that, but they're, I don't know how you stop those guys. Like if you're a gambler and you're betting like Oilers games and it's close games and, you know, you can get in a live bet, probably you're going to pick the Oilers all day because once it even gets down to, you know, waning minutes of a game, you know, the ice time is going to be poured to them even more. And if they ever get to overtime, you know, it's like lights out with those two guys. It's like, see you later. I think they're the same, but they're different. And they control games differently. And I think, you know, McDavid's more dangerous. I don't care, 1-on-4, 1-on-3, as we've seen in the last few weeks, absolutely insane. But I admire Leon's game so much, just the way he distributes the puck. He sees the ice. He slows the game down. He changes the pace. He he controls play down low and finds seams and like settles, he just settles down. And it's so cool to watch that.
Is Leon's game more suited for the playoffs? To borrow a quote from Torts, Torts.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. I think Edmonton just played Winnipeg, who, you know, has found some success against Connor and Leon a little bit in kind of quieting them or trying to. And maybe Hellebuck has something to do with that a lot, but maybe it's style of play and the way they play them as well. I don't know. I think that's just going to have to be proven, you know, in the playoffs. I think he's just going to have to prove it. You can say whatever you want until somebody goes and does it and proves it and shows it. So, you know, we've got that situation here with Tristan Jarry in Pittsburgh, right? Like his gaffe in the playoffs last year and, you know, some of the struggles that he's had and kind of like where the trust factor is at with him here as a goaltender, and having to just prove it and having to just go through it and show him. So I think Connor's, you know, obviously hell of a player. Playoffs is different time of the year. I think they're questioning his two-way play and, you know, his defensive work, which, you know, I think has come a long way since he's entered the league. And I think we saw the same things happen with Sidney as well when he entered, and he faced kind of the same criticism. So I think he'll figure it out. I think he'll be stronger for it. And I think, you know, you just have to go and show it.
You know, Tristan Jarry a little bit. The thing I admire the most about him is his give a crap meter about what I say or what you say or anybody else says is zero. His ability to reset and come back the next day after whatever kind of performance is unbelievable. I'm so envious of that because it eats me up. Yeah. And about anything, whether I have a bad day with my family or a bad day at work. And you and I are kind of the same.
I was going to say that. We're the same with that stuff, man.
We are. Yeah. Because we've had conversations about it and anxiety and dealing with it. But Tristan, like he rinses it.
Oh man. I don't know. Like you said, I admire guys that do that so well. And I've always said like, you know, I've always admired like guys that are like, I always say more dumb because it comes across as like not worrying about things to me. Like I shouldn't say more.
Yeah. They don't care. They don't care.
Yeah. It just comes across as not caring, but like, where in my head, I'm kind of like wrapped up in it a little bit more, but, even his, like, he has like a monotone delivery when he talks to like, yeah, you know, this is really great. I can honestly say this. I saw some emotion from him. He'd struggled in shootouts here recently and, you know, been getting some criticism about, you know, and some takes where, you know, they should flip-flop goalies for the shootout here just because he'd been truly struggling and they're trying to get points and they're dealing with injuries and COVID and everything and grinding. And, you know, he finally got a shootout win the other day and like gave her the old one knee pumpernickel with the blocker that the goalies love doing. And, you know, that's rare for him. I think he doesn't show a ton of emotion, like you said. And I've always admired goalies, especially just because, you know, I think the pressure is so much on them when something happens for them to be able to kind of reset and come out and like, you know, show it the next game and park it and be ready to go and not let themselves get into a foxhole of thoughts, as you say, and let it eat yourself up. So Tristan's done a great job. One, coming back off of the playoffs and trying to prove, you know, what he can be. Two, proving that he is like a worthy number one horse starting goaltender through the season, which he has been and played really great. And inside of that, getting over like a shootout kind of mini meltdown in the city here with the team and surpassing that and coming over that into back-to-back shutouts now. So he's on a mission this year and everyone's saying, oh, wait to the playoffs again. Once again, there it is. A lot of people are saying that. So he's got some people that he has to prove to, I think, and to himself probably more so than anything that he can be that guy if they make the postseason and keep their playoff streak alive here in the NHL.
I want the update on Gino, but I wish coaches would switch goaltenders for the shootout more often.
I remember it was done. Who did it? Last was it last year? 2 years ago, someone did it. I forget who it was.
It's happened a couple of times.
Yeah,
I don't remember. And there's no difference between putting a goalie in the third period because your goalie sucks and you change goalies to try and win the game, than putting them in for the shootout.
Is injury an issue, Darren? Tell me that.
Coaches put the new goalie in the third period to try and change up a game.
That's true. That's true. They should get like a little goalie train. You know how they have those goalie training things? They should get like a little setup down underneath, like a warm up for batters, where they can go in and just kind of like post the post action and like do stretches and like just in case, you know. And then we might start seeing some shootout switches, which would be kind of cool.
You got some skills there.
Yeah, I know. Just, old school. I'm opposite though. I'm a righty. I'm opposite.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm like, who's like that? I don't know. Hiller?
Grant Fuhr.
Hiller? Jonas Hiller? Was he like that? I don't know.
Where did you... Jonas Hiller was like 55th on my list of guys that I was going to pull.
I just remember him because I played against him and I remember it being like super weird in my head because like, I don't know, as a player, you look at a goalie and you're supposed to look like the right way.
Yeah.
And then whenever there's a righty in there, it throws off like your look. And I feel like it messes with your head a little bit of like, you know, automatic thinking of where you're going to shoot in certain spots on the ice because it's like different now. It's totally different. So, and I'm a righty and the high glove was there. And now the block, and now it's like, oh, I'm like, oh, where am I going here?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know that, Colby and I struggled with getting into our own heads. You just saw an example of that right there. He's years removed from playing and he's still messing himself up.
Still messing with me.
I'm going to ask Logan if he ever played goal, like just goofing around. Did you?
I think all players have like kind of like a interest with the goaltending position. I played it one time in practice when I was in the minors, but other than that, I did it. And ever since a young age, my dad was like, you're not going to play net. No way. No how. You don't want to do that. Don't do it. And I'm thankful now because, you know, going through it, like goaltenders, I'm like, God, like every day in practice, every game, every warm up.
Would you let your kids?
No, I didn't let my kid. I shouldn't say I didn't let him. He never really wanted to, but I had in the back of my head the same, like, buddy, like, don't be taking pucks off your collarbones and everything else in your head and standing there all game. And so, he just wanted to play out. He wanted to play forward. So I didn't have to worry about it. Now I do have my girls who are interested in hockey. So we'll see where that takes them. Maybe we've got a goaltender in the family still.
Lucy looked like she was covering rebounds back there.
Oh yeah. She's like my one sweet little, the other girls are big into cheer. They like that. But Lucy, like, put a stick in her hand. I'm telling you, she's got to figure it out already for, you know, a little 4-year-old. She's got to figure it out. You know, you can just tell, you know, you can tell there. Yeah.
Yeah. Hacking and whacking.
Hacking and whacking. Hold the stick perfectly. Playing pass, ripping biscuits, everything. Nice. She's good. She's got it. Yeah.
Put it on a tee. One time?
Yeah, I haven't done that yet. You know how they one time it though, the little ones, they just hack and whack. So she definitely got
whether
that.
It's whether there's forehand or if you miss it, you get it on the backhand.
Yeah.
Coming back the other way.
I actually just built an outdoor rink in my backyard. Sorry, I'm kind of throwing your show off here, but yeah. I just got an outdoor rink delivered to me and it's like one of those kits you set up in the backyard. So I just set that up yesterday. So now just hoping for cold weather here this winter so it can hold up and we could have all the kids out there ripping around.
How was it? Did you have to change it up a couple of times? Did you screw it up? And then
no, I didn't screw it up. I just internet tutorialed it. And then like, I went out there and just went to work. So it was awesome. It's nice rinks. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
Sure.
I don't know.
You can say whatever
you want. Yeah, they're awesome though. They sent it to me full tutorial, like super easy to deal with. And it was like, I've never done this before. I've just done like the Saskatchewan style, like a couple boards around the edge when I first retired.
Leaking onto the street, everything.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, you know, how can you do it wrong there when in the weather's that cold, you get it automatic. So, here's just a little different, but I'm looking forward to a lot of memories out there this winter.
Yeah. Before you plug Crown Royal or any type of beer that you wanted to plug, what about Gino?
Gino. Yeah. He's, I think he's progressing along. And I was thinking like, you know, when you get major knee surgery at you know, his age and coming back and rehab. I remember watching guys who had knee surgery and like just watching tears in their eyes as they're rehabbing in the trainer's room. And like the work that they have to do day in and day out is just like excruciating and brutal. Like it's a lot of hard work. So I imagine Gino's probably sick of it at this point right now and, you know, hoping sooner than later. But I, you know, everything I hear is kind of, you know, mid to late December, maybe even a little bit more of the time frame of when he'll be back. So probably late December, if anything. Who knows? But I mean, think about, you know, just getting him back and Crosby, Malkin, Carter, Bluger down the middle has been, you know, instead of you know, Carter, Rodriguez, Bluger, and Boyle down the middle has been kind of a patchwork job for what I think you had envisioned here for the Penguins lineup, which will be huge to get Malkin back and going. You know, I love watching Malkin play. Like I've loved it. And, you know, he has his moments where he gets, you know, criticized maybe for a turnover here or there or like a penalty. But I love everything about like his size, his skill level, his fire. Like he can snap every once in a while. He plays with like just passion and emotion as well. So I think the Pens obviously, you know, miss that one as his skill and everything, Darren, but also like the emotion and fire that he pulls guys into the game as well.
Were you better with Sid or Malkin?
I played more with Sid. I did play on a line a little bit with Sid and Gino, which is wild to show. Like,
how are you not in the league still?
I know. Oh my God. I had, cause I wore out from going and getting pucks for those guys. I knew my role, Darren. Come on, you know, but yeah, it was a wild time. It was fun. It was like some of the best times I've had playing with guys like that who were young and you know, they were flying. And it was just wild to be, you know, so like playing with those guys, even watch them play every day, but on a line with both of them, it's like, it was so cool.
Now that was in rotary dial phone era. Did you ever take
that was a pre-YouTube era? Yeah.
Did you ever take a picture of the lines up on the board?
No, I,
Armstrong, Crosby.
I think I did the one time. If I remember, we were playing at Nassau Coliseum in Long Island when I think I got put onto the first line. And I had like a flip phone when I came in the room and I was like, cool. I was like on a line with Crosby that was like the first time I got put up there from like the fourth line to the first, like, I was like, holy smokes. So I remember taking a picture. It's NHL, right? It's NHL. Yeah. I don't know where that is now. The flip phones. I don't even know, but.
Remember texting on those? Like
I was awesome at that.
Really?
It took me forever to get to an iPhone eventually when they came out. It's because I was so used to like the button pushing thing instead of like it feel like I liked the feel of the buttons at the time and I couldn't shake it. So it took me a while to convince my brain to switch over to that. But that was hilarious. Yeah, that's how we all did it, eh? I just remember sitting on the bus with everyone like everyone's just firing off text messages on that old, what is it called? T9? T9 texting.
Buddy, I just went over and saw my twin brother. He's here for a golf trip, and I ripped back for the podcast. You and I are way more alike than my twin and I. We are separate. Like, I don't know what it is, but you and I are like, it's scary. You don't have the picture. You don't know where that picture is. Do you have the puck from the first Winter Classic goal? I don't know whether Bob, Bob knows this, but Colby scored the first ever goal in a Winter Classic in Buffalo.
That's the jersey. Yeah.
Why is it on the floor?
I had it framed up. I just took it down to, I don't know why, you know, doctoring up the studio a little bit.
Do you need some nails? I've got nails for all my stuff here. Do you need a frame?
Yeah, well, and you've got every frame from the store too. Like, it's unbelievable, but.
Target has no frames left.
No, they're empty, completely empty. You obviously got all of them, and your studio backdrop looks amazing. The goalie masks are awesome. I remember going to Kari Lettinen's house in Dallas when I retired and went down and visited him. And he has like something like you have, except for maybe a few more masks. And I don't know, I think they're all his old ones.
Yeah,
and
actually used for real hockey.
Yeah, his has like a goalie display in his garage, which I don't know. It's like, you know how people put skateboards on their wall as art? Like a goalie mask art wall looks really, really badass.
Nice. So what are you going to do today? Like what's up for today? You got Thanksgiving this week. You're all ready.
Yeah. My son has a hockey tournament this weekend in Buffalo. So we'll try to manage that back and forth while the Penguins play Friday, Saturday. So I imagine I'll be stuck in a car a lot. But this week, I think I have a ribbon cutting ceremony for a inner city rink that they're opening up here in Pittsburgh, which is really, really cool. It's an old armory that they've now transformed in partnership. I think it's with the Penguins. So we got another rink here in Pittsburgh that'll be used. And a lot of kids that never had access maybe to rinks or the hockey now will. So it's really cool to go down to that. That's this afternoon. And other than that, man, just day to day being a dad.
Do me a favor. Yep. Don't hurt yourself at the ribbon cutting ceremony. Okay.
I think they'll keep me far away from any scissors or anything. Maybe I just stand on the end somewhere. I don't know what I'll be doing, but it'll be cool to be there.
I always bug Goldie about being hurt, but you're amazing. You loved this job from the very start, and you've made such amazing strides. And you worry, and you shouldn't worry, because you're dead solid, perfect at bringing personality and insight to the game. And we appreciate it on the Chirp with Colby Armstrong, because you kind of took control there for a little bit.
Yeah, sorry about that, buddy.
I'm glad you got dressed up, though. Like, you asked me if you should wear a hat, but then you've got the denim. You've got,
look at this. Hey, they call this a shacket, I heard. A shacket, a shirt jacket, which I'm going big on right now. It's my style move.
Got the Manitoba martini with the VR, and you've got the Manitoba tuxedo going.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
exactly. can we do this again at some point?
Anytime, because buddy.
I judge our conversation, and Logan Couture is coming up in just a second. But I judge these conversations based on Bob's reaction, and Bob's stomach looks like it's hurting right now. Producer Bob.
Oh, good. He's having fun. That's good. Hopefully the viewers enjoy it too. So thank you for having me, buddy.
First thing I'm going to do after I talk to Logan is give Richie Sutter a call and make sure that he got his $100 back.
Yeah. Check in on that. Let me know what he said. We'll see.
Go track down Lucy.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Just shy of a decade in the National Hockey League. How about the stories that Colby Armstrong has? Pittsburgh and then Atlanta. And then Pittsburgh went on to win cups, and he's still just gutted about that and not being part of it. And then a couple of original six teams in Toronto and Montreal. You know, this is one of his great regrets. He never got his game used sweater from the Montreal Canadiens, has all the other ones. And he's reached out to Montreal. Nobody can track it down. His game used sweater from the Habs. And I believe it's his mom or dad. One of them was a great Habs fan. And it just one of those things that kind of, you go, where can we get that? How can we figure that out? But San Jose Sharks captain Logan Couture on the other side, he doesn't have to worry about his game used sweater from his teams, because he's only got one team. He spent his entire career with the Sharks in Northern California. He broke in when Joe was running the show, and I probably thought Joe was 100 years old at the time, and now he's older than that. We'll get into the age difference and where he is in his career right now. The amazing part about Jumbo playing in Florida and Connor McDavid doing his thing. Seems like we talk about Connor McDavid with everybody, but it's worth it. From his backyard in San Jose, let's catch up with Logan Couture. Where'd the number 39 come from? I've never heard that story.
It was actually given to me in camp. I wore number 41, and a player, Tom Cavanaugh, requested it, so they changed me to 39, and I never changed it. I was a big Dominic Hasek fan growing up, big Sabres fan, so I just thought it was kind of fate, and stuck with it.
You ever play goal then?
Road hockey.
Yeah?
I never put the pads on the ice, maybe when I was super young. I don't know. I think it would be too tough. I don't know how those guys do it.
Did you ever try? Like, do you ever grab the gloves in practice and get, like, guys flip pucks at you?
Not on the ice. The only guy I saw do that was Drew Doughty in our summer skates about 8 or 9 years ago. He threw the pads on for a skate. I saw how tough it looked for him, so I've never done it.
Did you shoot on him?
I did.
Did you, like, rifle one shelf on him?
I did a couple. He came out to about the hash marks, so he's trying to cut the angle down a little bit.
Hey, when you broke in with the Sharks, how old did you think Joe Thornton was at the time?
Well, he didn't have a beard at that point, so he looked younger. I thought maybe he was in his late 20s. I think that's probably what he was. Maybe he was 30. And then I knew his brother's my agent, so mm-hmm. I knew he was around 10 years older than me. So probably – I was pretty close.
Did you think that was old then?
Like, he's, oh, yeah, old. He's, of course. Yeah. Yeah, now I'm about 3 years older than he was when I started.
That's where I was going with that, was now guys come in and you're older than Joe was then.
Right.
So how do you stay looking young?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm looking too young. The hair is turning gray, but I never really thought about it until you said that. So it's pretty unique, I guess.
You played with Joe Thornton. And you played with Rob Blake. One's a GM and one is still playing. What's more impressive?
Still playing. Absolutely. Yeah. Jumbo's played through so many different changes the league goes through. I mean, the style of play changes every 5 years and systems change, and pretty remarkable.
How has your game changed since you broke in?
Just I think using my head a little bit more as I got older. I'm not the smoothest skater. I think I realize I need to put myself in better positions all over the ice, whether that's defensively or offensively. You know, there's a lot of guys in the league that are faster than I am. When we play a team like Edmonton against McDavid, you know, I just got to be smart and be above them all over the ice. And yeah, use my brain a little bit more.
You can learn hockey sense, like teach hockey sense. Because that seems to be a...
I think with experience comes, yeah, as long as you take pride in improving. I spend a lot of time watching video, spend a lot of time watching other hockey games, watching players that I like, whether that's Bergeron and guys like that, that, you know, Pavel Datsyuk when he was in the league, the guys that I wanted to model my game after. If you watch guys like that and you learn from them, I think you can learn the game as you get older.
Do you watch games every night?
Not every night. I used to. My life's gotten a little bit busier now, but I watch as much as I can.
Did you see McDavid's latest?
We were on the plane last night, and I heard a groan from the back of it, and guys were like, no way, he did this again. And so we saw it on the plane last night. Pretty amazing how he does it. What seems like every five games, he's finding a different way to go through six or seven guys on the ice. It seems like he dangled a couple guys that were on the bench too, so he's insane.
You play the position, you play the game, and you explain to me like what he did there. Can you break it down for me?
It's just there's so much speed. No, it's, I don't think anyone can skate like he can. And the way he can stick handle and head fake, he makes guys cross over when you don't want to. You know, if you look at the puck with him, you're done. You got to try and stay at the center of his body. Easier said than done because he's so fast. And then he makes the goalie look foolish. So. He's an insane talent.
When was the last time you tried to take on four guys and beat them?
Never. I'd chip the puck in and go get it.
There's a little part of SAP Arena that's always fascinated me. So I'll start this. Have you ever gone on the ice through the visitor's gate?
Yes, in training camp.
Okay. Did you fall?
I did not, but it is a steep drop. You don't realize until you actually... Yep.
The first time I saw it, it reminded me, did you ever play in Collingwood growing up?
No, I don't think I did.
Okay, because that's the closest thing that I thought that you might be able to relate to. There's just something about that drop that throws everything off.
Yeah, it's steep. Yeah, I think I've only gone through it a few times. I think our Barracuda team actually might go through it every game, but it's definitely a couple feet.
Is it harder going onto the ice or coming off the ice? Because, you know, the guy that shovels and he's got the big barrel. I feel sorry for him lifting that thing up.
Depends if you're on the end of a long shift and the period ends. And it's probably pretty tough getting up there.
What was the Patrick Marleau experience like?
As a whole, incredible. Great teammate. Quiet person, but just such a professional. I've said this before, but I'll say it again here. Before I played in that World Cup in 16, and got to practice with Sidney Crosby, Patty Marleau was the most skilled hockey player I've ever been on the ice with. Just his speed, skill, the way he shoots the puck in stride. He was so good for so many years, and he scored so many goals. And I still feel like he never really got the credit that he deserved as a player. You know, he never missed a game my entire career in this league. And he played through a lot of injuries, played through sicknesses. I mean, he's got four kids at home, so you know how kids get sick all the time. And he came in and he competed every night. So last year was special just to be a part of that, see him breaking the record. And it was cool that his family got to be in Vegas for that game there. Yeah, I can't say enough good things about Patty.
What piece of memorabilia do you have from Patrick Marleau?
I have a stick. I have a lot of clothing from that game. I have a lot of signed jerseys throughout the years from our teams. So there's a lot of stuff from him, from Jumbo, from Rob Blake, guys like that over the years that I'll keep forever.
Are you tracking the Olympic announcements and what's coming up?
I am, yeah. I've been involved in you know, that those calls and stuff. So it's in the back of my mind, but you never know. I mean, Canada's such a good team, and I'm playing as hard as I can for the Sharks, and we'll see what happens.
But it is on your mind a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think any player that believes they have a chance, you know, whether it's a good chance or an outside chance, you're going to be thinking about it. I mean, you want to represent your country. 2016 World Cup was some of the best times of my life in Toronto as well. That I wanted to experience that again. I mean, Hockey Canada's first class, it treats you, you know, the best that you can possibly be treated. So it would be an awesome experience.
Where's your ring?
It's in a safe here in San Jose.
As I asked that, I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be asking exactly where that thing is. Do you ever wear it?
I don't. No, I've shown it off to my friends, my family, a few people, but it's big. I mean, they don't save money when they make those. They spend it. So pretty sweet thing.
That's what you get for winning. Did you get a mini trophy or anything like that?
We'll still wait on that. Apparently it's been completed and we're supposed to get those soon.
You still don't have it?
No.
It's a bit of a delay, isn't it?
I mean, I'm sure the pandemic had something to do with it. I would think, but I don't know if they're waiting to give it to us, you know, or what the deal is.
The reason I ask that is because if you don't wear the ring a lot, like what, how do you celebrate? How do you recognize that, that amazing accomplishment?
Yeah, you know, it doesn't come up too often, but the odd time, you know, when we play in Toronto, I'll think about it. When I see some guys that were on that team on the ice, think about it. That's really the only times that it comes to mind.
What did you think of your boss's speech of the Hall of Fame?
I didn't get to see it. I was at the Timberwolves game in Minnesota, so I watched the replay of it. Doug's such a great speaker, and you know, to see Killer there as well, that was the best part. I mean, Killer was such an important person in my life too. So to see Killer there and, you know, to see Killer recognized as a great coach and person that he was with Doug was pretty cool.
You played on his last team.
I did. Yeah. My last 4 years were Killer's last 4 years.
That's pretty cool. Give me an idea of a look inside Brian Killer, right? Because he is a fascinating, fun, cool individual.
Yeah, the first word that comes to mind is respect. Killer said you respect everyone, whether it's the officials, whether it's your teammates, the other team, or if we go out to lunch and you're served by someone, you say thank you. Every single player wasn't allowed to leave the restaurant until you thanked the staff. And he always said respect your landladies, your billets, as he called them, landladies. And just such a great person. You know, he was hard on guys at times, but you know, he acted like almost your father, your grandfather, because we were away from home and he needed that stern, you know, almost parent or grandparent in your life. And for me, I went there at 15 or 16 and I was a kid. I was so immature, and it's a tough spot to be when you're sent away and so far away from home. And I came out of there as a young man, and a lot of thanks goes to Brian Kilray for that.
You know, I remember the first time I crossed paths with you was when you were drafted in the OHL, and he was so happy to get you. It was at that Memorial Cup with Sid and Perry and all those guys. So he was happy then. But one thing about him is he seemed old the first time I met him. Mm-hmm. And he still looks like he hasn't aged, though.
It's crazy. I'm just so happy that he was able to experience that with Doug. And, you know, he's had a crazy life, and
yeah,
I'm so happy that he's still around.
Do you have a skills coach?
I do not.
No?
No.
Why don't you? And because he seems like most guys do now, and I'm curious. I'm so glad you don't, because we get to go down this path.
Sure.
Why not?
It's just never something that's really crossed my mind. We have coaches out here in San Jose that I guess you could classify as skills coaches, but they're not personal skills coaches. If you want to go out early and work on something, they're more than willing to come out and help. So never really needed one during the season. Off season, I've had a skate in London, Ontario with about seven or eight guys that are all older, whether it's Perry, Doughty, Dylan DeMello. There's opportunity to have a skills coach, but it's just something that I've never thought of.
That skate in the summer, do young guys ask to come out and you say, hey, you got to earn your chops?
No, they're actually skating with the skills coaches, the Suzuki's and Jordan Cairo, guys like that. They skate with a different group, but we try and get them to come out and skate with us. So it's a little bit of a battle going on, trying to get to the full skates.
You are somebody that grew up with a father who's a referee. Did that impact the way you communicated with officials?
Absolutely. Yeah. It still does. I, you know, I went to a lot of games and watched my dad ref, and saw him be treated with respect by some players and not by others. And you know, it's easy to be a nice person. It's easy to ask how they're doing, remember what their name is. You know, some calls you're not going to agree with, other calls you're going to think they did a good job. They're not trying to screw anyone. They're trying to do the best that they can on the ice, and they make mistakes just like us players do. So I just don't see there's any need to scream and yell at them all the time. It just doesn't do any good.
So what's your plan when you do get frustrated?
Yeah, I mean, there's been times where I've lost my cool and yelled at them, but I'll always apologize and say, hey, listen, I'm sorry. I screwed up, or maybe I disagree with the call. That's really it.
When you were a kid, baseball, lacrosse, and hockey, it's nice and you were brilliant at all three. So if the hockey thing doesn't work out, are you going to pick lacrosse or baseball?
It was baseball. When I got to about 13 or 14, I was close to, I had to choose between hockey and baseball. And it was really close for a while there of quitting hockey and pursuing baseball. But it was just, I just figured I had a better chance of doing something with my life with hockey. I mean, baseball, I probably would have, if at best, maybe got a scholarship somewhere, and who knows what would have happened. But with hockey, I figured there was a chance to make a career out of it. So that's why I stuck with it.
You don't think you could have played pro ball?
No, I don't think so. I think it's too tough. You know, I probably would have had to move somewhere at that young age outside of London to pursue it, to play year round. And I wasn't ready to do that.
What position did you play?
I was shortstop and second base.
Oh, see, that those are glory. Those are fun positions right there.
Yeah, they are. I hit 1, 2, or 3 in the order. So I miss baseball. I watch the Jays almost every single game that they play during the season. So I miss it.
Did you play softball or anything after you were done?
No, I played in like a charity tournament. Drew Doughty used to have a charity tournament in London. I played a few times in that, but that's it.
Club it out, your slugger?
I hit a couple out, yeah.
Attaboy. Well, what about lacrosse? Could you play pro there?
No. I only played a couple years of lacrosse. I mean, it was huge in my family, but I never really got into it too much. I mean, my grandfather is in the Canadian Lacrosse Hall of Fame, and he really wanted me to pursue it, but I was more into baseball and hockey.
What was that conversation like with Grandpa?
It was just, I like hockey a little bit more. And unfortunately, he passed away when I was playing in the OHL, but he loved to watch me play his hockey.
Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame for lacrosse. Doug is in the Hall of Fame for hockey. Can he get you passes into the Hall in Toronto?
I'm sure he could now. I'm sure between him and Killer. And then in a few years, probably Jumbo and Patty. I think I'll know a couple people in there. So hopefully they'll get me a couple.
Hey, what's with the beards? Did you finally ever ask him to go like uncle with that?
I don't know. I think they like it. I mean, Burnsy loves his. He's still got his going, and he trims it. He loves it. I think I don't know what Jumbo's deal is. I know Jumbo has cats that they play with it. So I don't know if he likes that or what. But I don't know. It's getting gray, so maybe he'll get rid of it soon.
What about you? Do you have cats, dogs?
I got two dogs, two little ones.
What kind? Little dogs. Nice.
Little, yeah. Shoes on is Willa, and we just got another one, Ernie. I don't even know what kind he is.
But, where did Ernie come from?
Ernie, my girlfriend just wanted an Ernie, so we chose that.
Oh, I thought, is Ernie the name or is Ernie the breed?
Ernie's the name.
Okay. Yeah. I started to panic there. I'm like, I know Shih Tzu, and I know some of these other ones. We have a lab and a husky and a Shih Tzu. Is one under your feet right now?
Yeah, she's somewhere out here. I don't know where she went.
Not a bad life. Hey, this has been fun. Have you changed at all since being captain?
No. I mean, there's, you know, situations where I had to learn, and you know, I had to improve how I talk to guys and to the media and stuff like that. So I'm always trying to learn and become a better, you know, teammate and player in person. So,
but you've always been good with the media.
Yeah. At times, I mean, you know, I get frustrated and, I got to pull back and, you know, early as a captain, I learned that. So I think, I've been better.
You guys are off to a great start though. Like, are you happy right now?
Yeah. I mean, we tough game last night, tough road trip. Going 2-3, but we've been through a ton this year with COVID, and we missed 7 to 9 guys for a week. We basically went through what the Sens are going through, and we still played. So it wasn't easy, but we stuck together, and I think it'll make us stronger in the long run.
You got to stick up for me because I don't know. Do you think you'll take heat for talking to a guy that does some Vegas games, all the Vegas games, or do you think I'll take heat for talking to a Shark guy?
Definitely you. You'll take you're talking to Pete and Spotter.
Exactly. Thanks for doing this. All the best, and make sure you say hi to your dad for me.
I will. Thanks for having me.
Don't know Logan great. He's not one of the players that I've crossed paths with numerous times, but that was fun. That was cool. And I give him real, real props because he got in late the night before we did that interview off a multi-game road trip and was up bright-eyed, bushy-tailed in the backyard in San Jose and giving us all kinds of great access and information about what's going on both as his career and with the San Jose Sharks right now. They're trying to get back into the playoff race in the Pacific Division. Now, I guess the good thing coming into the year is that the Pacific Division was thought to be one of the weaker loops in the National Hockey League. That's kind of changed a little bit with what LA has done and Anaheim, Troy Terry on a tear, and Edmonton and Calgary have been great, and Vegas has stayed right in it despite all the injuries. So they're in tough. And so is the New York Islanders. And just wanted to touch on this because there's some angst right now with the Islanders coming off the 13-game road trip in which they were just a game under 500. And that's a real feather in the cap of Barry Trotz and company. But you go back home to UBS Arena, brand new facility over by the racetrack, and you lose the first couple of games and people are really up in arms. Worried, concerned, use whatever word you want. So I thought I'd just try and calm everybody down. Am I concerned? No. Am I surprised? Not really that they're struggling right now. Is there a sense of urgency with the New York Islanders? Totally. Totally. But don't be thinking that they got to make all kinds of trades or got to shake things up with the lineup. Here's the thing. You go through 13 games on the road, and you're just trying to survive. And that's what they did. They survived that 13-game road trip. You come home, and there's a natural letdown. I don't care who you are. There's a letdown. You're back home. Whew, we got through that. And, teams come in, and they win a couple of hockey games. They'll find their footing. And there's COVID, and there's injuries, and Pulak's out. Like, there's a couple of things going on that they're going to have to fight through, like a couple of other teams. But the hardest part of the season is over for the New York Islanders. They will be okay. I feel like a bit of a therapist right now talking to Islander fans. But here's one thing that you do got to keep in mind. And I'll speak to Barry Trotz and the players right now. Guys, you have no idea how excited other teams are to come into UBS Arena. I know the Coliseum was beautiful and it's got history and it's where the Islanders won their cups and the fans love it, et cetera, et cetera. The other teams, they're really happy to be not going into the Coliseum. They're so excited to be going into the brand new with full amenities, UBS Arena. They're so beyond prepared to ditch that cycle of the past of Nassau Coliseum. And they're more excited to play at UBS Arena than you are, players, New York Islanders and Barry Trotz. So just be aware of that. That part is going to be first and foremost. It's like when teams go through Vegas, the teams are excited to play in that environment and you got to be ready for that. So you almost have to up your game another 20-30% because of where the other team is right now in the grand scheme of things and being ready. They'll be fine. I know it's a tough division, the Metro, and teams are playing good, but the Islanders, you will be fine. But just know that just because clubs don't have to go to Nassau Coliseum means that there's smile on their faces and the ease in their gait right now is another level beyond what you've ever prepared for. So there's my little speech to the New York Islander fans. It's going to be fine, but kind of dug yourself a bit of a hole that you got to get out of, some adversity. And that's what my feeling is on the New York Islanders and Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. If you think Leon's better than Connor McDavid, wrong. Sorry, but it was a fun conversation with Colby Armstrong and Logan Couture. Just really cool guy. Awesome dude. And I wish him nothing but the best. And yeah, I'm going to take some heat for having a San Jose Shark on this podcast. I defer to Bob Bender. He made me do it, but I was happy to do it. and chat with a San Jose Shark captain. We'll chat with you next week. Have a great holiday, everybody. And we can't wait to catch up with you next week on the Chirp Podcast with Darren Millard. Breathe, Islander fans, breathe.